I'm glad the preacher's not going a lot. And I'm sure he's glad I'm not going a lot. It's a lot to stand up and get it all done. Brother Miller and Pat Miller, they're good friends of ours. They're from our last church that we went to, Glenwood, and he was a preacher there, and we had such a good time and learned so much from him. So I'm going to turn it over to you today. Can you turn your mic on, please?
I got it. Old Doug trying to remember everything. Amen. He's worse than a termite in a yo-yo trying to get everything done up here this morning. But he's all right. We love Doug and Dodie, and they mean a lot to us. I do want to thank you for praying for my wife with the battle with cancer over the few years, so about 5 years. She first had breast cancer, and then 3 years later, she had lung cancer, or breast cancer dropped down into the lungs, come back in the lungs, and was completely covered her lungs. And because of people like you praying and God's mercy and grace, he just wiped it off just like it had never been there. And Mayo just couldn't understand it. So, but we know who done it. I told the doctor, you do your job and God will do his. Amen. You get a chance, you come back tonight, I'm going to preach on God can, and I can prove it. God's a good God, and I appreciate your prayers. And I'm glad to get to come this morning and enjoy teaching the Sunday school class. And I'll try to get you out of here before 2 o'clock this evening. I won't be lengthy. But I do want to say Happy Mother's Day and for all of you mothers and wives. And I want to talk about women. That's the only time you can talk about women and get away with it. It's on Mother's Day Sunday. So I hope we can see some things, though, will help us this morning. Us men especially, and you ladies. If you will, turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, a familiar passage of Scripture. I guess we ought to read this more often than we do. But I'll just try to draw a few things for you today that will kind of help you about women. Amen, about women. And I married one of them, amen, so... I know what you men have to deal with, and maybe there's some things we can learn here this morning. If you will, in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her cantle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold a distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, and yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and setteth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and her own works praise her in the gates. I want to draw your attention to verse 10, if you will, where it says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we've already experienced today. I thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you for Sunday school and the good time we had studying God's word. And Father, I thank you for those that have come this morning. And Lord, I pray that if we look at the scriptures that we might see some things, both the women and the men, the husbands and the wives, that Lord, we might see some things that will help us to have better homes. Lord, that's what's wrong with our churches today is the homes. The church will never be any stronger than the homes are. So Father, I pray today that as we look and try to enjoy a good time together as we study how precious they are, Lord, that her price is far above rubies. Lord, I ask you to bless now. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for everything that's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In verse 10, where the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous means worthy. Or it also means morally excellent. It has a number of definitions for it. But he's talking about a good woman. And here he says that who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. I'm so glad that God made women, amen? Aren't you? I mean, if we hadn't, we might have been stuck with a monkey or something, amen? But God saw fit for us to have a good woman. But there are some things about them I want you to see today, and then I want to talk to us men a little bit, and I'll be talking to myself also as we study the scriptures. But the first thing that I notice about women, they are different men. Yeah, they are different. Whether we like it or not, they are different. Now, listen, you can see it as you watch women and men in the different characteristics or the actions in which they have. Proverbs 31 shows the characteristics all through of a woman. But we men sometimes, we got our picture of them. But they are not like us. They are different, and we got to understand that. You don't ever see men. If you have, I want to know about it. Do you ever see men come to church and say, look, have you seen this new shoe that Penny has? Have y'all ever seen that? Huh? Have you noticed the new style that Penny's put out now with the high heel? You don't see no men coming out and say, man, look at him, these here floor shines. Do you see these new leather shoes I got that come from Sears? You don't see men doing that. Or men, they're just different than women. You know, a woman, you'll see them, they'll say, have you seen this new dress of mine? Amen. But you don't see men doing that. So they are different. And men, that's what we have the problem with sometimes, is because they're so different. I mean, we know one another, but we have a problem about our wives. And I believe the Bible teaches those some things about them that will help us, that they're worthy. In fact, their price is far above rubies. I mean, they are something special to us. And I want to show you just a couple of things. Number one, they're priceless. They're priceless. You say, yeah, well, you can have mine for a dollar and a half. But they are priceless in the eyes of the Lord if we have a good wife or a good mother. In fact, the Lord said in verse 10 that her price is far above rubies. In those days now, rubies was the most expensive gem that there was. And he said her price was far even above that. And I don't know about you men, but my wife is... it's far above any rubies. I don't know what I would do with that. I mean, I wouldn't give you a nickel for another. But she's far above rubies, the price that she means to me now. We've been married over 50 years. And I tell you what, I just don't know if I'd have made it this long without her. So there's some things that I want us men to see this morning, and the women, but some things that will help us. First of all, that they're priceless. In other words, man, how much does your wife mean to you? And you don't see that. You don't see that too much. And you women, how much do you feel important to your husband? Because see, there's got to be that right relationship in the family if you're really going to be a godly woman or a godly man. If you're going to have a happy Christian home, hey, the home's going to have to be right before it's right in the church. But I want us to look at just a few things about them that said, and they're very special. You say, what's so special about them? I'm going to tell you what. There ain't a one of us that'd be here without one, amen? You know, we never think about it. I'm just an old country boy, but I kind of make people get to thinking on a level they can understand. But they're not, you know, men say, well, I wish there wasn't no women. Well, you wouldn't be here. Amen? They're special. In fact, God said they were special, that we do have a need for them. Look with me, if you will, into the book of Genesis in chapter 2. Let me show you something. First of all, they are special. They are special to you and I. They're priceless, but yet they're special. God designed them for you and for me. In Genesis chapter 2, you know, when the Lord made all of the creations, and then He then made man. And I want you to see that in verse 7. Here's where He begins and He talks about forming the man out of the dust of the earth. He said, and the Lord God, verse 7, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Isn't that nice of God? He loved us so much. He loved Adam so much. He made him a complete garden in the Garden of Eden. I mean, everything was perfect. And there He put the man whom He had formed. He gave him a place to dwell. I mean, man, He's got it made now. He's got a beautiful garden. He's got it made now. Everything's there. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in His sight. In other words, every tree that He desired, it was there. God gave us all these things that we have physically in the world today. And good for food. Boy, we love food, men. Amen. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and a tree of knowledge of good and of evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Drop on down to verse 15. I mean, God has made this beautiful garden now. He's given him everything that he needs. Now, man ought to be happy. I mean, he's got everything he wants. I mean, he even got some rivers there. There ought to be a catfish or two in there. Amen? But everything that man desires is there. The garden's there. Every tree's there to look at. And then the food to eat off of them. Everything is perfect. But watch here. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Keep him out of trouble. Amen? I mean, he gave him something to do. Men have to have that. I mean, we men have to have something to keep us busy. And God gave him all that. He gave him everything that he could desire. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. I mean, enjoy yourself. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He had some commandments for man, but he gave him everything. But look at verse 18. Something was missing. See, that's why she's so precious. Hey, that's why our wives and that's why our mothers are so precious. Man can have everything he desires. He can have all the food that he wants. He can have all the hobbies he wants. But there's something that's desired by man. Watch here. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. How about that? Don't think that you're not special, ladies. Hey, every one of you, wives, you are special or should be to your husband. Because we men could have everything physically. We could have every good food to eat. We could have every kind of hobby that we enjoy. We could have all of that. But there'd always be something missing. That's why you're so special. God said that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Now God, all before that, said everything was good. But here when he made man, he saw that there was a longing in his heart for a helpmate. You know, sometimes we act like we might have bought our wives off the slave market or something. But God gave her to us. Hey, thank God that God saw that the woman was a special need that man had. For look what it says in verse 19. Don't just take my word for it. But God looked at poor Adam over there, and he'd eat all the fruit, you know, he'd filled up until he'd fulfilled all the fleshly desires that he needed. He was comfortable. There was water to drink. There was trees to look at. There was beauty all around him. But he looked over at Adam, and Adam looked so pitiful. And men, some of us would be pitiful without our wives. I might not even have my socks on if it wasn't for my wife. They're special. God gave them to us for a helpmate. And the Bible said, listen in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now listen, every beast of the field. He said, and every fowl of the air, every bird, all of them's there. And he said, Adam, maybe this will help you. Give him all, every animal. And Adam began to look at him and view over him. And then he looked up in the air, and here's all the fowls of the air. And they're all there. He said, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Y'all think Adam wasn't smart? He named every animal and none of them twice. Every bird. Never named them, not one, twice. But he's give Adam all of these things now. He said, this man, we'll see what he does with it. And he give him all the beasts. And I can see old Adam over there trying to play with a lion and trying to play with a bird and doing this, trying to fulfill that need that he had. But watch here. And Adam called every living creature and was a name thereof. And Adam gave names to all of the cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. He said, maybe it'll make him happy. He'll just name them. And Adam began to name each one of them. I guess he tried to make him a buddy. Amen. And you see old Adam with a monkey over there saying, hey, your name's George. You're going to be my buddy. And some of us men act like we'd rather have a buddy than our wives. Something wrong with that. Hey, nobody's more special than your wife. Because there'll always be that longing. Watch here what it says. I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible. And was the name there. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, listen to this, there was not found a helpmate for him. There was a longing in Adam's heart. You men that are here, do you still have that longing in your heart for your wife? Or you just take her for granted? Well, I'm telling you, when Pat got cancer and I thought I'd be losing my wife, hey, I realized how special she is. And maybe sometime us men, we need to wake up and realize how special they are. Hey, they fulfill a need that no animal can. They feed a need that no fowl could ever supply. Hey, they supply some things in our life that nothing visual that we can see or food could ever make us happy. They're special. Listen. And God said, He gave Adam all of these things, and yet it says, but Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. You think they're not special? Look at the next verse. I believe old Adam hugged every monkey and every animal there was and every bird there was, but there was a need in his life for a helpmate. God says, I'm going to give him one. Watch how special. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He put him to sleep. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Listen, he laid old Adam down, put him to sleep, opened up his side and took out a rib. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Y'all notice where he took her from? Not from the bottom of his foot, Didn't take it out of the bottom of his back of his knee. He took it out of a rib, the closest thing to his heart. Hey, listen. Ladies, you're special. You're so special that God saw it in the beginning of creation. He knew that we men had a need for our wives. He said, I want them to be a helpmate to them. I want them to be bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Do y'all notice that folks start looking alike after a while? That may scare some of you women. But if you get around your husband a lot and stay around him all the time, if you're not careful, you begin to look at him. Dodie, I'm seeing a little Doug in you, girl. Amen. Other pals, you know, I'm going to look. Am I telling the truth? They do. They start kind of looking. Because God, listen, that's the closest thing to a man's heart is his wife. Ladies, I want you to know today that you're not only priceless, but you're special. Men, there's two things that God wants us to do because he is so priceless. And because she is so special. If you will, I want you to think about this. Number one, he wants you to love her. You say, I told her I loved her. Yeah, but you need to tell her you love her. But some men say, well, when I married her, I told her I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll tell her. No, you need to love her. She needs to know that you love her. And listen, it's more than just liking them. It's more than some kind of an arrangement. In fact, the Lord said it like this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. You might want to make a note of this. He says, husbands, love your wives. He said, I want you to love them. And then he gave you an illustration of how you're to love them. Says, husbands, you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a love, amen. Hey, Jesus loved his church so much that literally he was willing to suffer. Men will have to suffer. He sacrificed, we'll have to sacrifice. I mean, he didn't give up on it. Christ loved the church so much that he was willing to die for it. Men, that's the kind of love that God wants you and I to have for our wives. If you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. The second thing he wants you to do. How are you going to love them if you don't know them? God not only wants you to love your wife, but he wants you to know her. I find so many couples that talk to me and Pat, and they'll say, we're having this problem in our marriage or that problem in our marriage. Well, what do we do? What book can we find that we can read that will help us to have a better home? Hey, go to your a Christian library over there, the store, and you'll see people just searching, trying to look for a book that'll help them to be a better husband or to be a better wife. And I'm not against books. Read them. But here's the best book in the world to help your marriage. This is the best book you will ever read that will help you to have the right kind of home. In 1 Peter, we don't have time, I'm just going to take just another couple of minutes. But I want you to see this. When you're having problems in the marriage, this is where you need to go. You need to come to 1 Peter in chapter 3 and find out what God says, not what man says. Now in the first part, verses 1 through 6, he talks to the woman. He talks to the wife. And he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. You know what that's saying, wives? Listen, if you've got a husband that's lost, maybe there's somebody here today and your husband, he's lost, he's not here today. You're not going to win him by nagging him. And you may never get him to sit down and read this Bible. But did you see what that said? that he may, without the word, be won by the conversation. That word doesn't mean what you say. It means how you live of the wise. If you want to win him, let him see Jesus in you. Huh? Let him see Jesus in you. So he talks to the wife there. And he says, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. And he says, while he's a-watching you, serve God. I just buried a fellow yesterday. His wife, I know for, I pastored her 10 years. But she's been, I know for 20, 25 years begging people to pray for her husband, witness to him. I witnessed to him over and over and over. She wanted him to get saved. But I'm going to tell you something about that woman. She's special. She continued to serve God even when he wouldn't. And you know what happened? On his deathbed, I prayed. This is what she told me. She said he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. I don't believe it was because of a preacher. I don't believe it was because a lot of folks tried to teach him this book. I believe he watched Miss Brenda, his wife, and that's why he got saved. Oh, listen, you can have a great influence on your family, ladies. But it goes on to talk about in verse 3 and verse 4. He says, ladies, it's not how you dress or how you conduct yourself physically. He said, it's that inner heart. It's him seeing Jesus in you. For he said, after this manner in the old time, the holy women, verse 5 also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Hey, what God's trying to say, women set the atmosphere for the home and you can have the right kind of marriage. But then I want to talk to us men. You got to know them. I'm telling you, they're special, they're priceless. But you will never understand it unless we know them. Listen to what it says in verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We've got to know our wives. Hey, we men sometimes won't put down the TV thing long enough to know anything about our wives. We never have a heart-to-heart talk with our wives and know their feelings. But the Bible says we've got to know our wives. Men, not only to love them, but you've got to know them. You've got to understand how they tick, and that's hard to do. But I do know you need the knowledge of them. I know a little bit about that. I mean, you've got to have some knowledge. You've got to know your wife or you're going to have problems in your marriage. I know when I come home and I walk through the door and everything seems to be well. I say, Pat, you had a good day? Yes, I have. Now listen, you go ahead and be crazy. Don't be asking a bunch of questions now. It hadn't been a good day. Amen. It hadn't been a good day. Now, she runs up and kisses you and hugs you. It'd been a great day. But you walk in and say, Pat, how's the day been? Well, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to say, now, wait a minute. We need to talk about it. You don't grab a dog by the ears. Amen. He'll bite you. See, I got knowledge of my wife. Men, some men are so silly. They'll agitate it. They come in. How'd your day go? I've had a bad day. Well, I ain't got time to hear about it. I'll tell you what, I've had a tough one myself. You see, you need to have knowledge of her. I know Pat just by the way she speaks. And I know another thing. You can't out-argue a woman. You know that, don't you? I heard an amen back there. Oh, yeah. You can't out-argue a woman. Let me tell you why you can't, man. Because it never ends up with the subject you started. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. If I come in and I say, Pat, what's going on? Well, the stove's tore up. Now, don't keep the conversation going. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you say, well, yeah, we'll try to get another. I know it. Just like we did with the refrigerator. Just like you fixed that fence out there, that gate still hanging off there 6 months ago. I'm telling you, I could beat her in an argument, but she won't stick to the subject. Amen? You see, I'm giving you, it makes you laugh, but isn't it the truth? We bring a lot of problems, men, on our own self. Hey, we love our wives. We think they're special. But we forget. Listen, we got to have knowledge of. We got to know when things are not right. And don't ever, when your wife says that, you want to talk about it? No. Don't keep on. I'm telling you, you don't want to talk about it. But some men will just push it right on. Now, you sure? We need to talk about it now. Go ahead. Let's talk. Let's go ahead and talk. You better leave it alone. I got enough knowledge that we do not need to talk about it right now. Amen? So I'm just sharing some things with you that'll help us today. Let me hurry. Our time's getting away from us. And I order. We've got to know that they're different. They're just different. They don't think like we do. They don't act like we do. I mean, it's amazing. Y'all notice how I'm dressed this morning. I got a green tie. You know why? Well, she's got a green blouse. I've got to have a color that she's got on her. Is that crazy or not? Amen? But she's different. Women, I find so much. Pat will say something about somebody at church. She said, did you see that dress? I really didn't. But women are very specific. A man, he'll wear the same tie, same coat 4 weeks in a row. You ain't seen a woman do that. In fact, you won't even buy pennies, ladies, if you think some other lady went to pennies that week. Some of you had a hard time this week picking out the dress. Oh, I'm not going. Miss Jones will be bought one of these and we'll both be dressed the same. Men don't care. We don't care. But women are different. And we've got to have that knowledge of them. Secondly, listen to this. Verse 7. He said, not only to have knowledge of them, but give honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now that doesn't mean that she's dumber than you. That means she's weaker than you physically. It means that God has given her to you to help her through some hard times. You better realize, some men I've seen, their wives, it always breaks my heart for a woman to come and say, preacher, and just be weeping. My husband just will not listen to what I'm going through. Hey, listen, men. We have that responsibility. When Pat's hurting, I need to hurt with her. Hey, when she's got some problems, I need to help her with it. Hey, whatever it is, I've got to be the man of the house. I've got to be her strength. And sometimes we men let it down. We need to be the strength for our wife. He said he's a weaker vessel. She needs to know that somebody loves her. Somebody that will be strong for her. Somebody that will care for her. And listen to this. And as being heirs together the grace of life. Listen to this. That your prayers be not hindered. You know why a lot of times I see families that they're going through so many crises. But they can't pray. You see, because their relationship's not right. Sometimes the child will go astray and the husband and wife will get at one another. The job will go bad and the husband and wife will get at one another. Hey, listen, this verse is saying you ought to have knowledge that your wife, she doesn't need to hear all your bellyache and she needs somebody to pray with. For it says that being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now listen to this. If your husband and wife relationship is not what it ought to be, your prayer life's not going to be what it ought to be. You know why I like to keep me and Pat's relationship right? If one of our youngins are sick, if one of our youngins are going through some crisis, I want me and her to be able to pray and know that God will hear and answer our prayer. Oh, listen. Don't wait until the baby's sick and then try to get your marriage right to where you can pray just keep it that way all of the time. So ladies, I want to say this to you and men today. Our women are special. Their price is far above rubies. They're worth more than you and I could ever pay. But thank God, God gave them to us. And because He gave them to us, He just asked us to do two things. To love them and to know them. Do you? Is your home right? Is your marriage right? Is your family right? If not, listen. Make sure you get it right today. Why, preacher? To where you too can have your prayers answered. Let's bow in prayer. With everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. God, I thank you. There's so many characteristics of the woman, and I pray that many might go home and read again Proverbs 31. But Lord, I'm glad that we could just have a good time this morning talking about the relationship between the man and the woman. That Lord, even though you'd give Adam everything that his heart desired, there was something missing. And it was his wife. God, I thank you so much that there's a lot of things in my life that I enjoy. But Lord, I am so glad that you give me a good wife. And the Bible said in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, he that desireth a good wife looketh for a good thing. Father, I pray now as we close this service. Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that's what's most precious. The precious of knowing that our loved one is saved. Lord, if there's a man or a lady here that's without Jesus today, I pray, God, that they'll come and accept Jesus into their heart and into their life before it's everlasting too late. Not wait like Brenda's husband, but Lord, go ahead and get saved and live their lives to where they can pray one for another and pray for their families, pray for the crisis they might have to go through. So Lord, I pray if there's one that's lost, they may come and be saved. Then Father, I pray for we that are here this morning that are saved. Lord, we have families. God, would you just help us? Lord, as I read in 1 Peter chapter 3, God, would you help the women to understand that they can be a blessing to their family. They set the atmosphere for the family. Lord, I would pray that they'd realize it's not so much how they dress and how they talk, but Lord, it's their conversation, their lifestyle. God, would they be so careful to be an example for the children in the family, be an example and be an uplifting to their husbands. And then, Father, for us as husbands, God, help us to just do these two simple things that you've asked us. Lord, would we love our wives? And Lord, would we love them like you love the church? That we're willing to sacrifice. Lord, we're willing to even give our lives for our loved one. Now, Father, you bless in this invitation, for only you can. With every head bowed and eyes closed, would it be somebody here today that you're not saved? You say, I'd love to have the Christian home, but I'm not a born-again believer. I'm not a Christian preacher. But I sure would love to know Jesus as my Savior. I sure would love to be able to pray with my family and know that God would hear and answer my prayer. Would there be somebody like that? Would you slip your hand up where you are? You're here today and you are saved. You say, preacher, pray for my home. Maybe some mamas that's got some kids that's away. Pray for my home, preacher. Maybe there's a husband here. Pray for our family. Pray for our marriage. Lord, we want the kind of marriage that'll bring honor and glory unto you. And Lord, may we start anew on this Mother's Day today. Would there be somebody like that? Preacher, pray for me. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mama. Would you just slip your hand up and I want to remember you in this prayer. Father, you bless now in this invitation. As Brother Doug comes, if there's one that needs to be saved, or maybe someone needs to come to this altar and set some things right, Lord, I pray that it might be done this morning. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Doug.